Hello, and welcome to the Bama Beat Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles. I'm Hunter Johnson, and I'm joined by Cecil Hurt, sports editor of the Tuscaloosa News. Cecil, how's it going?
Great, Hunter. How are you?
Doing well. Lovely weather day outside today. A great day to be inside, cooked up in a room, and talk about Alabama basketball.
Yeah.
So Cecil and I were both up in Lexington on Saturday. You know, a really cool environment to watch a basketball game. If you, I don't know if any of y'all have ever been, but you need to go at some point, and you just kind of see how different it is up there. It reminds me a lot of an Alabama football game in terms of the way their fans are and the way they care about it so much. It was a good atmosphere. It was a packed house, loud in there. I thought we played pretty well. I left there not upset at all. Was glad I made the trip. You know, there's sometimes you go to road games, you're like, I can't believe I just drove 7 hours for that. Went through a lot of that during the Mark Gottfried era. But I was pretty pleased with the way we played. What did you think, Cecil?
They did some good things. They did some things they'd like to improve on, particularly shooting the ball. And some of that, people need to understand that when you say they didn't shoot well, some of that is just the random nature of shots that
right.
either go in or don't, if you're getting good shots. Some of it's on the other team's defense, and I thought Kentucky defended the three really well.
All shots are not taken in a vacuum. It's not
right.
the same
it's
scenario
not
a,
it's not, it's
every
not
time.
A little X out there that everybody takes the same shot with nobody in their face. It's at a different pace and so forth. With that said, you know, John Petty's 3-for-8, which is – you can live with 38%, but everybody else is 1-for-13.
Right.
And the one with Jalen Forbes hit that one in the first half, which people say, well, why didn't he shoot it more? Well, Jalen's got to set up and be open. The way Jalen, who's playing a few minutes a game.
And that's about what we expected from him, 3 to 5 minutes a game.
Yeah. If he does that, that's fine. But he's not going to create any kind of three off the dribble.
Right.
You know, you've got to penetrate Kyra, he's got to penetrate, or Herb's got to penetrate, find him on the perimeter, which is the way Alabama sets up, and get it to him where he can get almost a set shot. I mean, he shoots a jumper, but from a set position.
Well, that was probably one of our top five best looks of the game, too, and he was not going to get a lot more of those opportunities.
No,
like, even if we played him, you know, 15 minutes, he's probably not going to get a ton of those looks.
No, and then I thought when they weren't going in, it was a combination. A couple of other guys who can make three-point shots were reluctant to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
Kyra shot one. Reese shot two. Beadle's the only one. Beadle was 0-for-6. And I'm going to say this. I thought it was not Beadle Bolden's best game. His family was there. I thought he came out super hyped up. You know, he plays that way anyway.
Right.
But I thought he was probably too much, you know, trying to do too much. And that's understandable in some ways, but can play better than certainly can play a little better than he played. Offensively, nobody played great. You know, nobody played great. I'd say Petty played okay. Herb did some good things.
Right.
Did some things that he could do better. But he's getting better.
He is. You can tell he's getting
a little more confident.
Right.
But, you know, and I'm hesitant to be too harsh on Herb, who had 7 points, 4 assists, and plays 35 minutes and has to guard their best guy,
right.
whoever that guy is.
He actually had 18.
Yeah, had 18 points.
Yeah, 7 rebounds.
7 rebounds is what I meant to say. Excuse me.
5 of them offensive, and that was what that was what he did. That was one thing I thought he did really well was he was getting boards. Now, something that we actually talked about this before the podcast started. Something that he might could have done better is, all right, maybe not go back up with that when you've got Nick Richards in the lane.
Just reset it,
and maybe
just
reset it, or you know, try to kick it out. Maybe you've got Petty out there. Maybe you've got Shackelford out there for you know a semi-open look. One of the better looks that we could have gotten. But, yeah, I mean, but you know, he had like 14 shots in the first half. It was clear that they were trying to take away Petty Reese, our ability to get shots on the perimeter, and they were going to make Herb beat him, which
right or whoever was going to take the ball and dribble and get to the basket,
and that was going to be Herb.
That was going to be Herb in that situation.
And like you also said, that's partly because of our injury situation. That's not necessarily what he was going to do at the beginning of the year, but it's where we are in terms of a personnel standpoint.
Yep, you know, Kyra slowed it down a little bit. You know, Kyra took 25 shots, I think, against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Because Florida was doing some of that same thing. Kyra shot 10 twos. Petty shot 7 twos. But those were shots. Those are the shots that they wanted Alabama to take.
We took a couple mid-range jumpers that I think Oates, those are the shots that we don't want to take.
Everybody, and understandably so, everybody looks at Alabama shooting 19% from three, making 4 of 21. But they only shot 43% from two.
Right.
You know, now Kentucky didn't shoot great from two either, but they made up for it primarily by Emmanuel Quickley shooting mm-hmm. well from three. He by far had the best game of any player on either team.
Well, for them, I felt like they shot the ball well from two and from three in the first half. And in the second half, it kind of returned to normalcy. This is, I'm talking about Kentucky here. The second half, it kind of returned to normalcy for the twos. But the threes, they kept on making them.
Yeah.
I felt like we forced them into some really tough shots in the first half. Not the threes that they took, but rather just the long twos, and they were making them. You just don't expect Nick Richards to go outside and make, you know, those, you know, a couple feet inside the line twos.
Right.
And we were forcing those shots. And
then in the second half, they didn't make as many of those.
No, they didn't. They really didn't. It was a return to normalcy. But every time in the first half, you know, Nick Richards would put up one of those long twos. I'm like, yeah, I forced that shot. And then you're like, well, dadgum, it went in. So, and you know, one thing that if you just look at the box score, and I realized, like Cecil said at the beginning, like I said, all shots are not taken in a vacuum. It's different when you're playing on the road at Rupp. It's different depending on the defense that you're facing and the defense you're playing. But if Alabama shoots their average from three, Alabama probably wins. If Kentucky just shoots their average from three, Alabama probably wins. And if both teams shoot their average, Alabama probably wins by 10 points. So, you know, that is the nature of basketball. Sometimes you're going to get unlucky, and, you know, hopefully we are ready to make some shots coming up in this next week after a somewhat poor performance on Saturday. So
that's Kentucky's good, mm-hmm. and it's a tough place to play. You know, Alabama had it down to a one possession game at one point.
Late.
Had it within four a couple of times. Herb shot a three that I thought was a good shot.
It was a good shot.
He was open, rattled around, came out.
Thought both his threes that he attempted were actually good shots within the offense. Those are shots that we want him to take. They're going to fall, but they just didn't.
Got the ball inside down four. Got the ball to Javian Davis one time. I guess they didn't call targeting because he didn't hit him with the crown of the helmet, but he did everything. The defense did everything else for a no whistle.
And there was another one. Reese had one that I thought should have been an and one as well. They don't blow the whistle on, but like we
wasn't officiating.
Right,
please,
like we talk about all the time. That is, life on the road. It is how it is. And kind of surprising, you know, we talked on the last podcast about how we didn't think officiating would be an issue at all because we'd have one of those alpha refs in this game.
Didn't happen.
We didn't. Don Daly was the crew chief. He's not at all one of those alpha guys.
Yeah, and then Jason Baker and R.B. Clyburn.
Yeah. They're not kind of nothing guys. So that was kind of surprising. But yeah, that's life on the road. It is what it is. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit about the upcoming Alabama-Auburn basketball game, the Iron Bowl of basketball. Welcome back to the Bama Beat Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles. A quick note on our sponsor, Wickles. Wickles, wickedly delicious pickles, relishes, okra, and much more. Wickles are proud to be Alabama-owned and made using a family recipe 90 years in the making. From Saturday sandwiches to Christmas dinner, their secret recipe used to be reserved for family and friends who were lucky enough to get a jar. But since 1998, they've been bringing the sweet heat and bold and tangy recipes into your home. Learn more about them at WicklesPickles.com and find them in your local grocery store in the pickle aisle. Let's get wicked. So, you know, after that, you know, a tough game at Kentucky, but also a game that I don't think anybody expected Alabama to go up and win it Rupp. Before the year, you didn't think it. Before the game, you didn't really think it. I thought we had a shot, but I didn't think we'd go up there and win. We have a game now it's a real opportunity to get, you know, kind of back on track and get a good quality quadrant one win here in Coleman Coliseum on Wednesday night against Auburn. Obviously, Auburn's undefeated this year. One of two unbeatens remaining. It would be really nice to be able to spoil that. But they are, a very different team than they were last year, but a very good team coming into Coleman Coliseum.
They are different. They don't have Jared Harper. They don't have Bryce Brown. So they are a different team. But the guys they have, they have some guys who got some experience last year, got a really good freshman in Okoro, used nine guys. Probably from that standpoint, they're deeper than Alabama. They've got nine guys that can give them quality minutes, which is, four solid guys off the bench. They play a little different. Austin Wiley, who's their post guy, but they only play with the post guy about half the time.
They're managing his minutes pretty closely. Yeah. He's playing about 50% of available minutes, but when he's in, he's playing really, really well.
Yeah, blocking shots and playing doing what you want a big guy to do. Blocking shots, rebounding, can score around the basket. Not going to step out and shoot a three. He's not that kind of big.
But when he's not in the game, they're playing pretty small, and they're going with either Purifoy or they'll even play McLemore some at the five. And, it's going to be a situation where you've got five guys who are going to take three-point shots.
Their tempo, they don't play at Alabama's tempo. People think of Auburn as – and they will push it when they have the opportunity. They play a relatively good tempo, but not a breakneck, fire up the threes tempo. As Hunter said, I will now assure that Auburn makes 87% of their shots. They have not been a really good three-point shooting team, percentage-wise, this year.
They're currently shooting
32%. That's
220th.
That's
in the
not
country.
Great. Now, what they are good at, among several things, is defense. Mm-hmm. They defend really well. They're long. They force teams to again take difficult shots. They keep the opponent. Their field goal percentage is nearly 10% higher than their opponent's field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. So they're playing much more efficiently. They're an interesting study. They're number four in the poll and certainly deserve that, being unbeaten. Hadn't played a top 25 team.
Right.
Hadn't played that level of competition. Other than Alabama, other than Wednesday night's game, depends on where you would put NC State, which was a nice win for them. They played at home.
That's their best. That's their best win right now, though. Yeah. In terms of KenPom, NC State was 50th ranked team in the country. Alabama will be their second toughest game, according to KenPom. Alabama's currently 53rd in KenPom.
Right, and away from home, so it'll be interesting. Now, talking to Nate Oates last night, he said that Alabama's not slowing down.
Right,
they can put Wiley out there, or they can play five small. He wants to shoot 33s or more. He feels like that is available to him.
He thinks we should make about 11 a game at least.
Yeah,
and you can't make 11 when you're only shooting 21
right,
on Saturday.
Right. And so so Alabama's going to push it. So how well that style meshes against Auburn style, I think it's going to be a fascinating game to watch.
Probably. I think even more so, the key is going to be getting stops, because Auburn's going to press after a made bucket. That's going to slow Alabama down and make it even tougher to get them in the half court. So I think really it's going to be even more imperative to get stops. And another thing that you talked about with Auburn offensively, they don't shoot the ball well from three. They're third in the country at two-point shots, though. They get good looks on the interior. Yeah, a lot of that's
either
Wiley.
They're turning you over and getting easy shots that way, or they get it down to Wiley, who shoots a very, nearly 60% on his twos.
They're 57% overall on twos.
Okoro shoots 65% on his twos. So Purifoy shoots 58%. So where Hunter was talking about those mid-range shots that you kind of give Kentucky, you really can't give Auburn.
Right.
They'll really knock those down, and they do like to create points off of turnovers, and they don't again, they're not up tempo in the sense that they're stealing the ball, but that they work their offense efficiently. You've got to respect their 3-point shooters, even though they haven't shot a great percentage yet. It's funny, the one thing again, to guarantee that they'll make 38 free throws in a row, they're not a great free throw shooting team.
They're going to press.
They will press some. I don't think they'll press 40 minutes.
Not like they're not going to press at the style like Bruce Pearl's teams used to press, but they're going to press some. I think it's a very winnable game for Alabama. I figured the line probably be around
Auburn 2.
I was going to say 2.
2-point favorite, 2.5.
Ken Pom predicts a 3-point win for Auburn, 80-77. I think it'll be an exciting game. It's going to be one of those games where there might be some runs. There could be, 10-0 runs that could go either way.
Sure.
The emotional swings are going to be
big. Somebody's going to knock down a couple of threes because they're going to be available.
And, you're going to have some coaches calling timeouts because of runs. The key is going to be who is able to withstand those runs when teams get it going. So I'm excited about it. Should be, a packed house.
I think it's again, talking to Alabama people last night, talked to Coach Oates, said, "Hey, Coach," and then some of the other administrators who were there, that we're recording on Tuesday morning. There were a few hundred tickets left.
And the ones that I saw on RollTide.com, a lot, you might find two together, but it was mainly a lot of singles up in those upper
scattered
level.
Yeah, and they think it'll sell out.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident.
They think it'll sell out today. If not, it'll certainly sell out in the walk-up, but they'd like to have it sold out today.
Right, and probably have a decent amount of Barners here.
We'll be the largest crowd to see a game of basketball in the state of Alabama this year.
Yeah, it definitely will, because, Auburn plays in a Cracker Jack box.
I did not say that.
I did say that. They play in a Cracker Jack box.
I simply said it would be the largest crowd to see a game.
It's easy to boast about having a packed house and you only have 8,000 seats available. It should be fun.
They have a good home court advantage.
They do. It's a very good home court. It's a very tough place to play. I dread going down there later in the year. But Alabama, even with that loss to Kentucky, still in decent shape. Still, we talked earlier in earlier podcasts about how the key for Alabama was just kind of treading water during this early SEC slate.
Come out of this 4-game stretch 2-2, mm-hmm. I think they'd have taken that. I really do.
For sure.
That doesn't mean that they don't feel like they let one get away against Florida, which they did. Mm-hmm. But it's funny just talking, and again, this wasn't with Coach Oates, but with some of the people around the basketball program. They just need, LSU's won back-to-back games, home games, at the buzzer, 2 or 3 seconds left. Credit to them, but Alabama just needs to see a shot like that go in. They beat LSU, beat Mississippi State Saturday. We were kind of able to see some of it on the portable device.
Right. I was driving, and Cecil was giving me the play-by-play.
and State scores goes up with under 2 seconds or right at 2 seconds left, and Skylar Mays just throws one up there and it goes in. Mm-hmm. And credit them, it went in. Mm-hmm. I'm not downplaying the scoreboard. Final score is the final score. I'm just saying Alabama needs something like that to happen. They hadn't had that happen in a long time.
From a team perspective and also from a fan perspective, to get people excited, something good happening would be great.
I agree, and you can't have a better opportunity than undefeated Auburn coming to your gym. They're a good team. Nobody's saying that would be easy or that it wouldn't be an outstanding win, but you got to win some opportunities sometimes. You can't always say, well, it's on the road or it was, an undefeated team or whatever. You just got to beat one. You just got to beat one. And really, honestly, thinking about last year, had some chances. Penn State, they certainly had a chance. Florida, they had a chance. But really, the last guy who you saw that ball go in for was Colin Sexton.
Yep, against A&M in the SEC tournament.
And so that era is over. He's in year two in the NBA.
Right. So, it would be nice to see something like that happen. I would prefer us to,
Auburn's certainly done it. Auburn's certainly done it. People forget, they had a great run through the NCAA tournament. That included squeaking by New Mexico in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, it should be an exciting game. I know that I'm very excited. It should be a fun night in Tuscaloosa. Let's hope so anyway. Cecil, thank you for joining me. Again, guys, we really appreciate all the positive feedback that we're getting about this podcast. We both really enjoy doing it. You know, please comment. Leave us ratings and reviews on iTunes. So, yeah, we really appreciate y'all doing that for us. And this has been the Bama Beat Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles.